Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On Ash Wednesday, it's March 5th, 2025. Great to be with you as we journey through Lent together, beginning today, of course, the first day of Lent. And we will be talking about that and giving you additional resources. Yesterday, we provided an interview with the amazing Father Josh Johnson and his pocket guide to the seven deadly sins and how to resist temptation, especially during Lent. That was published by Ascension Press. There is a link on our archive section for that book. But today, right after the news, and there's a ton of it, an update on the Holy Father and everything that happened in Washington yesterday with the joint Congress, to whom the president spoke. We'll have more information on that as well. I do encourage you to go to our great resources online, including CatholicNewsAgency.com, of course, and the Register. In the first hour of Catholic Connection, I shared this really cool article, 10 Important Things to Know About Ash Wednesday. And they go through some really interesting points about Ash Wednesday and the history of ashes and more. And so it's very, very informative. So check that out at CatholicNewsAgency.com. After the news and the break, we are going to be, speaking of Lent, talking with the founder of Halo. Alex Jones is going to be giving us an update on what's being offered. It's really cool. They have the Halo Lenten Prayer Challenge, Pray 40, The Way. And we're going to talk with Alex, and you may have seen a lot of different really cool commercials featuring Mark Wahlberg and, let's see, Father Michael Schmitz. It's kind of funny because I was just texting Father Mike. They're on their way to Italy today with our friends at Corporate Travel, 4 buses of pilgrims. Praise God. They were going to Assisi in Rome, and so I was wishing him a safe journey. And I also saw Father Mike, and you may have too. I saw him Sunday morning with Rachel Campos Duffy on Fox News, so he's talking about Lent. Anyhow, Father Michael Schmitz and many other wonderful priests and Catholic leaders are involved in this Pray 40 The Way, and Alex Jones will fill us in. Of course, it is a Wednesday, so at 28 minutes past the hour, I do want to share with you Shrines and Wonders Wednesday, based on my EWTN book that just came out in mid-February, Italy's Shrines and Wonders, and we'll share with you the bookmark brief from Doug Keck's bookmark program. Now, Doug is an excellent interviewer, and he hosts, of course, Bookmark, but also the program with Father Spitzer, which is awesome. It's one of my favorites. And what they do with Bookmark is really cool because they take a segment. Well, actually, they ask you a few questions that are meant for like a shorter segment, giving the viewers an idea of what's to come in the full-length interview. Now, the full interview for that Bookmark program, I just learned, will be airing next week, the week of March 9th, so we'll give you more information on that later. But I always loved talking with Doug because, again, he's a very good interviewer and he's always very upbeat and really gets to the heart of the matter of what the author is trying to say in the book. So we'll share that with you, and I'll talk a little bit more about what you can experience in Italy this time of year, because a lot of people don't think of going now because they think of winter, they think of cold. Rome is not that cold in January and February. It's colder, and there are days you can get some rain, but the crowds are so low. It is just a perfect time right now. And when you start getting closer to Easter, it starts getting super, super crowded. And you've got May and June, forget about it. July and August, too hot. September, very crowded. My favorite time of year to go, end of October, or October and early November. So we'll talk about that. Italy Shrines and Wonders Wednesday. Speaking of Italy, we will go back to Rome with Joan Lewis, and she will give us an update. Joanie's Rome. Latest Vatican news. So that is the program for today on not just any Wednesday, but Ash Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. Now, the weather, there are some problems with the weather. There's that powerful storm impacting several parts of the country. There's a major winter storm, and this is according to the National Weather Service, continuing to bring widespread hazards through this evening. And this includes damaging winds, blizzard conditions, severe weather, and localized flash flooding from the central to eastern USA. And then, of course, a Pacific storm, as we mentioned, bringing widespread rain and mountain snow across California. And that state is really worried about that. But we'll have an update in our news. So let's get started right now. It is Wednesday, March 5th, Ash Wednesday. We're glad you're listening to EWTN. Michael Kastner reminds us today is Ash Wednesday, and Catholics and other Christians around the world are marking the beginning of Lent.
Many will go to church to have a priest smear ashes on their forehead. The ashes symbolize mourning and penance. They also remind Catholics of their mortality. Many Christians give up something tangible for Lent, such as liquor or a favorite food. They may also reflect on their lives and decide whether to make changes. It's all part of a conscious effort to purify themselves for Good Friday, which marks the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and for Easter Sunday, which celebrates his resurrection.
And now we go to the Pope and his health. According to a statement published this morning by the Holy See Press Office, the Pope rested well overnight and woke up slightly after 8 a.m. Rome time. The Holy Father continuing his treatment and respiratory physiotherapy as planned. He transitioned from non-invasive mechanical ventilation at night to the high-flow oxygen therapy. He is receiving treatment still for bilateral pneumonia at Rome's Gemelli Hospital. His overall clinical condition remains stable, including heart, kidney, and blood values. Meanwhile, in his prayer intention for March, the Holy Father is inviting us to pray that by receiving the grace of forgiveness, families might discover healing, as well as the blessings that God has given to each member of the family. Deborah Castellano-Luboff reports from Vatican News.
The images in the video were prepared prior to the Holy Father's arrival at Rome's Gemelli Hospital on February 14th, where he continues his therapy for bilateral pneumonia. In the Pope video for March, the Holy Father acknowledged the great difficulties facing families. "We all dream about a beautiful, perfect family, but," Pope Francis recognized, "there's no such thing as a perfect family. For each family," he noted, "has its own problems as well as its tremendous joys. While every member of the family is important because each is unique," the Pope lamented how often their differences cause conflict and painful wounds, as he suggested a solution. "The best medicine to heal the pain of a wounded family," he stressed, "is forgiveness," adding that forgiveness requires giving our family members another chance. "God," Pope Francis pointed out, "does this with us all the time." Reminding that God's patience is infinite, the Holy Father reminded how he forgives us, lifts us up, and gives us a new start. In the same way, the Pope suggested pardoning one another always renews the family and makes it look forward with hope. "Even when there's no possibility of the happy ending we'd like," he noted, "God's grace gives us the strength to forgive. Doing so," he explained, "brings peace because it frees us from sadness and, above all, from resentment." Pope Francis concluded by saying, "Let us pray that broken families might discover the cure for their wounds through forgiveness, rediscovering each other's gifts and even in their differences."
And the Pope's annual Lenten retreat taking place at the Vatican next week in spiritual communion with the Pope as he continues to receive treatment for his respiratory illnesses. The theme of that retreat, which takes place from the evening of March 9th through the morning of March 14th, is the hope of eternal life. In other news this morning, President Trump, as Nick Harper tells us, touting his leadership in office and the plans for the U.S. in the longest address ever to a joint session of Congress last night.
Donald Trump laid out his accomplishments of the last 6 weeks, a whirlwind time in office when he has overturned much of the agenda of his predecessor, Joe Biden. He championed money saved and jobs cut as part of his Department of Government Efficiency's cost cutting. He doubled down on tariffs, warning that reciprocal tariffs would start on April the 2nd. But he struck a more conciliatory tone about Ukraine, saying he'd received a letter from President Volodymyr Zelensky saying the Ukrainian leader was ready to come to the negotiating table, while adding he had had serious discussions with Russia and had received strong signals that Moscow was ready for peace.
Last night, Trump discussing some of his executive orders from the first month and a half as presidency, which included policies to combat gender ideology in public life and curtail illegal immigration. Catholic News Agency explains on Trump's first day in office, a president signing an executive order to deny federal funding to all K-12 schools, high schools, and colleges permitting biological males to play in women's and girls' sports. The order is facing ongoing legal battles from Democratic officials and transgender advocacy groups. And one of Trump's 15 guests last night was Peyton McNabb, a former high school athlete from North Carolina. According to the White House, she suffered a traumatic brain injury when playing women's high school volleyball after a biological male who self-identified as a girl spiked a volleyball in her face. In September of 2022, she is now an ambassador for the Independent Women's Forum, and she pushes against men in women's sports. Senate Democrats, meanwhile, joining together to block Republican-backed legislation that would have permanently banned biological men from taking part in women's sports in schools and colleges that receive federal funding. The bill's Republican backers needed at least 7 Democrats to support a procedural vote on that legislation for it to advance to a final vote in the Senate, but did not receive any. Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama introducing the measure, dubbed the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act of 2025. A similar bill did narrowly pass a House of Representatives in late January, with 2 Democrats joining the Republican majority in support of it. And a Democrat was removed from the president's address last night. Texas Democrat Al Green refused to sit down and stop yelling during the speech, and he was yelling at Trump before he was escorted out.
Finding that members continue to engage in willful and concerted disruption of proper decorum, the chair now directs the sergeant-at-arms to restore order. Remove this gentleman from the chamber.
Republicans, meanwhile, drowning him out by yelling USA. And Karen Curtis tells us the speech last night by the president is receiving widespread support.
According to a CBS poll conducted last night, 76% of Americans approved of the president's speech. The CBS News YouGov survey interviewed a nationally representative sample of speech watchers immediately following the president's address to Congress. Most speech viewers described the president as presidential, inspiring, and more unifying than divisive. A big majority also called it entertaining.
CNN, meanwhile, said 69% of their viewers had a very positive or somewhat positive reaction to President Trump's speech. Vice President J.D. Vance will visit the U.S.-Mexico border today. His visit to Eagle Pass, Texas, comes, of course, a day after the big speech last night. Trump visited Eagle Pass just over a year ago and spoke about the dispute between federal and Texas authorities on the matter of border security. Vance will be the highest-ranking official to visit the southern border so far during Trump's second term. House GOP members are reportedly being urged to stop holding in-person town hall events. House Speaker Mike Johnson claiming the GOP events are being taken over by far-left extremists.
Democrat activists who don't live in the district very often will show up for these town hall events, and they'll go in an hour early and they'll fill all the seats. And so the constituents and the people from the community that are actually represented don't even get a seat.
Multiple reports say National Republican Congressional Committee Chair Richard Hudson is telling members they can reach more constituents by holding virtual town halls instead. And Sarah Lee Kessler tells us a Barnard College student is expelled over last year's building takeover at Columbia.
The expulsion comes 10 months after pro-Palestinian demonstrators took over Columbia's Hamilton Hall, damaging property and trapping custodians. Barnard President Laura Rosenberry has issued a statement noting that while expelling a student is an extraordinary measure, so too is the school's commitment to respect and the integrity of the academic experience. Last week, Rosenberry ousted 2 other Barnard students who recently disrupted an Israeli history class, prompting dozens of students to briefly occupy Milbank Hall.
And we mentioned this in the weather. Lots of concerns on the West Coast. Sierra Madre residents under an evacuation warning with another rainstorm bearing down on Southern California. This resident does not want a repeat, she says, of what happened during the last storm.
Everything that came down from the mountain, twigs, branches from the fire, had clogged the canal and it started to overflow.
The warning kicked in at 6 o'clock this morning local time and will last through 6 o'clock Friday morning. The areas impacted by the warning border the Angeles National Forest. There are again concerns about heavy mud and debris flows from the Eaton Fire burn scar washing into Sierra Madre. And finally, in our news segment on a Wednesday morning, Ash Wednesday 2025, when most Americans move those clocks forward for daylight savings time, hospitals say they see big spikes in heart attack visits on the Monday that follows. Now, that's this coming Monday after those clocks spring forward this Sunday. The exact reason isn't clear, but experts think the lost hour of sleep does play a big role disrupting the body's natural rhythms. One way to combat the change, the experts say, is to start going to bed and waking up 15 minutes earlier, 2 to 3 days before the change. Ash Wednesday, hope it's going well for you so far. Wishing you a very peaceful and fruitful Lent, and you get a lot more out of it if you follow us here at EW10 and Catholic Radio and all the great resources. Speaking of resources, we check in with the founder of Hallow up next on a really cool thing they're doing to help you through Lent. We'll be right back.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. He once declared, "It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels." He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
We have seen some of the really well-done commercials for this prayer effort coming up, obviously, during Lent, featuring Mark Wahlberg and Father Michael Schmitz and others. We're talking with Alex Jones, the CEO and founder of Hallow. Alex, I really like those spots. They're really well done. Who produces those for you?
We have a great team of folks that we work with, but we try to do most of it with our team and some contractors and some folks that we work with. But most of the ideas just come from the people on our team. So we've got some funny ideas, and then Mark and Chris and Jonathan that like to ad lib, and they usually end up quite a bit funnier than initially they were. And then even a lot of the prayers are just, you know, we just say, "Hey, do you want to say a prayer or something?" And they just lead these really beautiful prayers. So.
Aww.
Awesome.
So neat. Yeah, I love Mark. Well, the spot that I saw yesterday was Mark Wahlberg looking down at his cell phone and asking Father Michael Schmitz and other participants if they're going to take part. Really, really well done. So let's talk about the Hallow Lenten Prayer Challenge. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the Lent Challenge is the biggest thing that we do in a year, for sure. It's our biggest challenge. We have these daily prayers and daily meditations that folks can use throughout the year, but we do these seasonal challenges that we release to help us kind of journey through the year in a new way and kind of refresh our spiritual life and dive back into a relationship with the Lord in whatever place of life we are. This year, I'm pretty excited. I think this is probably the best piece of content we've ever done. The team did a phenomenal job with it. It's The Way, so it's journeying through St. Jose Maria Escriva's, you know, incredible book of spiritual wisdom. And then what we do is we you know, the book is just a series of kind of usually one-liners of these really powerful statements of faith or calls to, you know, live a better life. And so what we try to do is bring those to life with a story. And it's the story of Takashi Nagai, which is this incredible story of this man who converted to faith in the early 20th century in Japan and ended up surviving the atomic bomb being dropped over his neighborhood in Nagasaki. And it's just this, you know, you have the story of this modern-day Job who just loses everything but is able to respond to it with this surrender and this faith that really ultimately transforms not just the city but the whole country. So it's this incredible story that most folks, at least in the West, haven't really heard of. And so it's going to be this beautiful journey. We have, like you said, Father Mike doing homilies, Father Mike Schmitz doing homilies on Sunday along with the way, Jonathan Rumi from The Chosen, who leads us through this story, and St. Jose Maria Escriva. Sister Miriam shares her own story and then does these incredible imaginative prayer sessions. And then Mark Wahlberg and Chris Pratt do these little fasting Friday challenges for different fasting challenges each week to try to help us to disconnect from whatever is holding us back from God. And then Cardinal Seurat does these really beautiful silence sessions on Saturday to try to help us to learn how to sit in silence. So it's going to be, I'm sure I'm missing like half of the folks that are in it. It's a really beautiful challenge. I'm pretty excited. It makes me cry every time I listen to one of these sessions and laugh a good chunk of time. Yeah. So it's a good series.
Powerful stuff. Talking with Alex Jones, CEO and co-founder of Hollow. For more information on the Pray 40 The Way, go to hollow.com/pray40. What is amazing to me are the well-known people, I mean, huge celebrities that are involved in this. And Chris Pratt, from what I understand, is not Catholic, though, correct? So I think it's kind of cool that he's joining in with these other, I mean, devout Catholics, such as Mark Wahlberg and Jonathan Rumi.
Yeah, what we try to do, you know, we want Hollow to be a place that's always 100% right, in line with church teaching and authentically Catholic. And everything that we do in terms of the spiritual practices and how we lead people deeper into the faith is, you know, mostly led by Sister Miriam or, you know, just pulling from St. Jose Maria Escriva or, you know, the rich tradition of the church. But what we also want to do is create this space that anybody who's interested in a relationship with Jesus can come. And prayer is one of those things that I think has an opportunity to bring us together and especially to showcase the beauty of the spirituality of the church, especially to, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are not Catholic, so our Protestant brothers and sisters. And so what we've tried to do, especially over the last couple of years, is to reach out to folks like that and to share what we think is the beauty of the church. And it does take to have Chris or really anybody to jump on board, it takes a tremendous amount of courage. It's not, you know, Hollywood.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Not super friendly to the Jesus stuff and certainly not the Catholic stuff. And so it's, you know, to have somebody who's willing to say, you know what, yeah, I just want to help people. I just want to use what God has given me, this platform God has given me, to invite people into a relationship with the Lord, invite people into prayer. And it's awesome. He does a great job. It's great content. And, you know, him and Mark make fun of each other throughout the series. So it's pretty fun.
Well, also, I mean, the whole thing about the courage, because when you see someone like that, or Mark Wahlberg, or, you know, Chris Pratt, who's been in, you know, so many of the big movies that we know about, and Wahlberg has been around forever, and you see these guys who are out there, you know, in the secular world, very, very successful, it does take courage. And I think it gives us courage. And even sometimes in our own, you know, church, people at our parish or whatever may not be really into the Catholic faith and maybe just going through the motions and think that you're over the top. But when you see people like this who take it very, very seriously, and I think the one spot that I really love is Mark Wahlberg walking into church, walking down the aisle, the pews are empty, and he sits down and he talks about prayer. It's such a powerful visual. And I think it makes people realize that, you know, if these guys can do it, I can too.
Yeah, and the thing that we get really excited about is they have this way of reaching out to folks, especially, and you mentioned a little bit of this, but especially folks who have fallen away from their faith, people who are not going to stop scrolling on Instagram or TikTok for a picture of Father Mike or Jonathan Rumi, and who are great, you know, those are phenomenal folks, and they lead the vast majority of the content. And so when you know, see a post from Mark or something, you then end up, you know, journeying through the content from Father Mike. Actually, funnily enough, Chris, the first reason that we ended up partnering with Chris is because he shared that he had finished Father Mike's Bible in a year and was praying with the app every day. And so it's really cool. But the, you know, what they have is this opportunity to be like, oh, wait, I'm going to stop. This guy from these big movies or this guy from whatever, this superhero guy or whatever, is talking about Jesus. Like, you know, I'll give this like 2 seconds of thought. I'll pause in my scrolling for a second just to give it a chance. And they create great content, and that's awesome. But the primary benefit and the primary beauty is seeing how they can reach out to the folks who have most fallen away.
Well, you know, it's so beautiful what you're doing. My pastor in the Archdiocese of Detroit actually did a survey of how many people, because they're going to be sponsoring a Halo application for our parish. And he did a survey on how many people knew about Halo, and most of the people did, and they were already using it, but he's going to allow people to join with the rest of the parish to do this. So it really is growing in terms of recognition. And I love the ecumenism aspect, too, to reach out to non-Catholic brothers and sisters. And also, Alex, I love what you're doing with exposing the depth and the beauty of the church. I love that.
Yeah, I mean it's what changed my own life. It's like people think of the Catholic Church, and you just don't often think of this incredible tradition and treasure of spirituality, yep. The contemplative life and the meditative life, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, these incredible mystics. And you just don't, like, when you first think about Catholics, for whatever reason, you don't, in today's world, think about this great mysticism. And I think it has this, you know, ultimately all that is a transforming relationship with the Lord. And what that does is it changes your whole life, but it also gives you this radical peace. And it's not just going, yep, through the motions, it's this radical, right, peace. It's funny, you mentioned the church. We try to partner with churches to help in a unique way to build up parishes of prayer. But my mom actually had just sent me a survey, so I wonder if you and her go to the in Detroit. I wonder if you and her go to the
We may. We'll talk during the break. I hate to cut you off, but hallow.com/pray40. Might be. My pastor is very tech savvy, does all kinds of surveys all the time. We'll be right back.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Saint Jose Maria Escriva says that we are called to light up the pathways of this earth by being sowers of peace and joy. This comes from being aware that we are sons and daughters of God. On the road of life, though, we find dangers. But God walks with us every step of our life, pouring out the gifts of His Holy Spirit upon us. Our Lady is our companion, like GPS in our car, connected to the cloud and bringing the latest updates to help us navigate our journey and get out of traffic on the way to the eternal kingdom. We don't want to get into family fights on our way to God's vacation destination, but we should be these sowers of peace and joy. We shouldn't accept substitutes, accept only the authentic identity of being His children, His sons and daughters. Let's grow in happiness and bring peace to those around us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
What do we mean when we ask our Heavenly Father not to lead us into temptation? Is it possible for God to tempt us? It is not, asserts the Catholic Catechism. God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself tempts no one. Translating from the Greek verb to a single English verb is the difficulty. The Greek verb means we are asking God not to allow us to take the way that leads us to sin. This petition addresses the battle between flesh and the Spirit, imploring the Spirit of discernment and truth. With the Holy Spirit, we can discern between trials which are necessary for our growth and temptations which lead to sin and death. Discernment also entails distinguishing between being tempted and consenting to temptation. It unmasks the lie of temptation, which makes the object look desirable, when in fact its fruit is death. God will never allow us to be tempted beyond our strength, says St. Paul. The battle, however, can only be won by prayer. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Talk about a small world. So Alex and I were talking during the break. Alex Jones with Hallo. Find out that his mom goes to my parish. Go figure. What are the chances? Anyway, small world. Alrighty then, it is a Wednesday, but not just any Wednesday. It is Ash Wednesday, 2025, the beginning of the beautiful penitential season of Lent. And it's also Italy's Shrines and Wonders Wednesday. Based on my new EWTN book, which just came out, hot off the presses, Discovering Sacred Spaces, Fascinating Places, and Destinations Off the Beaten Path. Each Wednesday, we talk about something in Italy, which is a very popular subject for people not only who are Catholic, of course, because it's a very Catholic country, but for anyone interested in travel. Italy is still at the very top of the list for folks who want to do something fun and go overseas and travel to Europe. Italy is right up there, not just for, you know, regular tourists, but for families, for people on honeymoons, and of course for Catholic Christians looking to go on pilgrimage. So when I was at EWTN in February, toward the end of February, the week of February 17th. I was so honored to be interviewed by the beautiful Johnette Williams on Women of Grace. We did several shows, one of which aired, actually, what's today, Wednesday? Yesterday. We did two shows on the book Italy Shrines and Wonders. We also did Rosie's, my Rosie book, Everything's Coming Up Rosie, and other topics up close and personal. And it was a lot of fun to sit with Johnette. Always such a joy. She's so talented and so beautiful inside and out. So thank you, Johnette. Appreciate it. And also love sitting down and talking with Doug Keck and having the tables turned on me somewhat, where I'm interviewed versus interviewing Doug every week, which was fun. And if you don't catch Bookmark, I'm sure you do, but just a reminder to take a look at Bookmark, because Doug is a great interviewer. In addition to what he does with Father Spitzer on Father Spitzer's Universe as a host there, also the questions he asks during Bookmark are very good questions. And what they also do for the program is they do a very short version, about 2.5-3 minutes, that gives you a summary of what's being discussed on the full program. Now, the full program for Bookmark, based on Italy Shrines and Wonders, will air next week. But I did want to play a little clip for you. And this is called the Bookmark Brief, which is out there now. You can find it on YouTube. We also put it on my Facebook page. But this gives you a summary of what Doug and I spoke about during the Bookmark episode on the book Italy's Shrines and Wonders. Take a listen.
Hi, I'm Doug Keck. This is an EW10 Bookmark Brief. Just had the pleasure of speaking with our radio host, Teresa Tomeo, about a wonderful book, Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Discovering Sacred Spaces, Fascinating Places, and Destinations Off the Beaten Path, published by EWTN and available through our EWTN religious catalog. So, Teresa, this is all about Italy's Shrines and Wonders. Why did you decide to write this book, and why is it helpful?
Because I think everyone, once in their lifetime, needs to go to Italy. I don't know too many people who don't want to go to Italy. As a matter of fact, new research just came out, 2 or 3 surveys this year, Doug, showing that Italy is still a top destination for families, for honeymooners, just for the average person interested in art, history, food, wine. Italy has something for everyone. Most importantly, underneath it all, for me, is the faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that aspect of it, how did you weave that into this guidebook?
Well, Italy is a Catholic country, whether mm-hmm. people want to accept that. It's still a Catholic country, and you have to explain the history of the different sites from a Catholic perspective, because most of the main sites are Catholic. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gave me an easy in as stealth evangelization. Mm-hmm. But also, I think it was easy to sell because the sites, whether you're going to a shrine or whether you're going to a natural place, you know, whether you're going to Lake Como or something like mm-hmm. that, it all lends itself to God because of the beauty.
Right. So, yeah. Is that what makes this book unique as a travel guide to Italy in your mind?
I think it's unique for several reasons. First of all, it's written by someone who lives there part-time. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I've been there over 60 times now in addition to living there part-time. It's also my heritage is from there. And I think it's unique in the sense that it's more than just picking it up and saying, well, if I'm going to Rome, I need to see this. If I'm going to, you know, the south of Italy, I need to see this. It is walking through people through some of the most beautiful places, where to stay, what to do, where to play, where to pray, all rolled in one.
Right. Okay, very good. The book is Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Discovering Sacred Spaces, Fascinating Places, and Destinations Off the Beaten Path by Teresa Tomeo, available again through our religious catalog. Look for the entire interview on our on-demand platform and on our YouTube channel and coming soon to the network. I'm Doug Keck. This has been a Bookmark Brief. Thanks for stopping by. Hope to see you next time.
So remember, the full version of Bookmark, the full show, will be airing next week, and we'll get an exact date for you, but it's based on the book Italy, Shrines and Wonders. And I wanted to pick up on something that Doug asked me, but also that something that Alex Jones mentioned in the previous segment. He was talking about, Alex was talking about the faith being so deep and so rich and so incredible in terms of, these are my words, not his, but he was saying basically the same thing. It embraces everything who we are as human beings made in the image and likeness of God, the Imago Dei, male and female, he created us. Because when you're in Italy, it encompasses all the senses, your sight, because of the beauty, the natural beauty, and of course the architecture, the structures, the mosaics, the frescoes, it's just so beautiful, it overwhelms you. And then of course you have the spiritual aspect, but that art is a big part of the spiritual aspect. So, as I mentioned in that clip with Doug, when you're going to Italy, even if someone is not Catholic, maybe a fallen away Catholic, or is only interested in going, and this happens quite frequently, maybe as an art student, maybe someone who's interested in art history, maybe someone who's very much interested in wine and food, but wants to see some of the most famous places in Italy, such as, right, you want to go to the Accademia to see the David in Florence, or you do want to go to the Vatican to see the incredible Sistine Chapel, or you want to go to Orvieto to learn more about the amazing structure, this enormous Marian Cathedral that took 300 years to build. And so this is a way, really, and that's why I call this book, what was really on my heart when I wrote this was stealth evangelization. Because I do all kinds of consultations with people, and I've been doing this for 6 years through Tease Italy. And many of them are just finding me by doing a search online, and a lot of them aren't even Catholic. But they come to me trying to figure out, okay, there's so much I want to see. How do I do it in a week or 2 weeks? And it's kind of like easy to evangelize because you just let God do the work. You bring them to these places or you connect them with good guides that are not going to lie about the history. They're not going to hit people over the head with the catechism or the Bible either, but if they tell the truth about the sacrifices of the saints, the lives, why a particular church was built, the history behind the Colosseum, and yes, Christians were really persecuted there, things are going to happen. And one of the reasons I wanted to put this down in a book is because Deacon Dom and I have seen so many conversions and reversions on our tours. Just last fall, on our Umbria and Italy coast-to-coast tour, it was actually, wasn't Umbria, we're doing that this year, our Italy coast-to-coast tour, we had three people come up to us privately and say they were coming back to the church because of what they experienced. The combination of the beautiful art, the masses in these amazing places, the fellowship, the fun, the food, caused them to rethink their whole purpose in life. And if they were already Catholic, raised Catholic, they said they were coming back. This is why we do what we do on these trips. And this is the main reason I wrote the book. I want people to embrace Jesus through the beauty of Italy. Also want to remind you, if you are going to Italy for Lent, if you check out the website of the North American College, the Pontifical North American College, which is pnac.org, they do station churches. So they have a whole list of the churches, and you can follow them through Rome, depending, of course, how long you're staying. Today it will be at St. Sabina, and of course, Joan will be talking about this because this is where they normally have the opening mass. Then they're moving on to St. Giorgio's, Saturday St. Augustino's, Sunday St. John Lateran, one of the major basilicas. And then next week they're going to two of my favorite churches, Santa Cecilia in Trastevere and Santa Maria in Trastevere. So for more on the beautiful station churches, go to the Pontifical North American College, pnac.org, and hope you grab a copy of the book, Italy Shrines and Wonders, from ewtnrc.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
To vent or not? If I get it off my chest, then I feel better. I've got to vent. Is this so? It's old theory, somewhat like a catharsis. You've got to purge yourself of these emotions, and Lord help anyone who's standing in the way. It's old theory. It's inaccurate. Venting is generally not good for the hearers, and it's not good for the venter. Venting may be good for dryers. It's not good for people. When we vent, we become more likely to vent. And when we are more likely to vent, we are more likely to hurt and say things we shouldn't say. Careful on the venting. Better to think about what you have to say before you vent.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what, we've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneeled down. As I kneeled down, the church is in the sanctuary, the whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar, and he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me, and he just bowed, and he says, "Don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out, and I will work."
Welcome Welcome back, Catholic Connection, and going back to Bella Italia, more specifically Joan's Rome, with our own Joan Lewis. So, Joni, there have been all kinds of stories out there regarding the Pope. So far, what we're understanding, and please correct us if we're wrong here, it's stable right now. Of course, that doesn't give us too much information, but they say he had a restful night. But I know that there's been some struggles with the journalists trying to get information out of the press office, correct?
Well, yes, because as I've been posting every day on my site, I post twice. I can post 16 times, but two of the bulletins are about the Pope, his health. So in the morning, 8:15, 8:30, we get on the Vatican's Telegram site. We get 8, 9, 10 words that the Pope slept throughout the night. He's now resting, or he's up, or just probably not even a dozen words. Okay. Then we don't hear a blessed thing again until 7 o'clock at night, because during the day, anybody listening who's been in the hospital knows that a lot of tests are performed in the morning, more than maybe any other time. And on the Holy Father, they're going to probably redo some tests or read the results in the afternoon. So a medical bulletin doesn't come out until 7 o'clock, give or take a few minutes. But in the meantime, the last couple days, not the first days, but the last couple days, I know what all the bulletins have said. I see the morning one, and then maybe at 10 o'clock I read that somebody's posted, the Pope's up and he's had coffee and he's reading some newspapers, which they used to say in the first days of his stay, but no more. It's just he slept well, he's now up. And so I'm seeing all these details. Where are they getting them? Well, you read Vatican sources. Well, Vatican sources to me is the press office, and we in the media every single morning of the year, we get an email, 9:30, 10:30, from the press office with what's going to be that day's news. Nine times out of ten, there will be an embargo if it's a papal speech or document or something. Fine.
Let's explain what an embargo is, though, for people who may not know what it is. An embargo is you have to hold it for a particular time until they...
An embargo yesterday. The Vatican gave the papal video on the his prayer intentions for the month of March. We get that in the morning, but it's not going to be put out until 4 in the afternoon. So it clearly will say embargo until 4 p.m. Rome time. And then anybody who breaks an embargo is usually pretty much punished by, this would be true at the White House or you know. So anyway, that is what an embargo is. But the health things have not come with an embargo. But what is interesting, when I read news that says the Pope is having coffee, reading newspapers, and continuing his therapy, and that's not what the official bulletin said, where did that person get it? Well, it's with the director of the Holy See Press Office. He does go every single morning, pretty much, you know, little before afternoon, 12 noon. He goes and talks to the journalists who are there. But, Teresa, one thing to understand, there's people like myself who might not be in the press office on every given day because we have other appointments. We're doing interviews. We're doing radio shows.
Right.
And then there's hundreds of journalists. Every single day, there's journalists at Gemelli Hospital. And the thing is, they've been complaining because if the director speaks to, you know, people in the press office, none of us who are home or on appointments or at Gemelli, we don't have that information. So all of a sudden, that kind of information is coming out. Well, actually, a number of us, have asked the press office, there can't just be two or three people or ten that have this information. We have to go back to, we have to have an every day at noon or 1 o'clock midday bulletin. And so we did get a bulletin this morning. But there were additional, we got the bulletin, but the additional words, we don't cite any particular person. We just, our folks out there listening to us,
right. They
will read Vatican sources said. So that doesn't mean it isn't official. It means it is official, but we don't quote any particular person's name. So at least we're at that stage where they've recognized our need. If we're not in the press office, that doesn't mean we don't count.
Right.
Did I tell you that 700 journalists have signed up for temporary accreditation? 700, Teresa.
Wow.
I know. We need some kind of small stadium for everybody to be in. The press office is a good size for, obviously, events, you know, most of the year long. But mm-hmm. in any event, what the situation did, you were talking about the Pope's situation. And this morning, they tried to give him a certain respiratory therapy at night when he's asleep, because obviously you're going to be on your back or your side or something. I don't know how well or how he sleeps, actually, with breathing problems. Sometimes it's easier if part of you is maybe not sitting upright, but, you know, not in a totally prone position. Mm-hmm. So they have mechanical and non-invasive mechanical ventilation for the Holy Father, and this morning they said the situation appears stable, but still in the context of a complex picture. You see, practically every night, maybe it is every night, bulletin, Teresa, ends with the prognosis is reserved, because they just don't, doctors know more than we do, but they just don't apparently know enough to say, okay, we're coming out of the tunnel. Or tunnel is still very long. So they really do take it day by day, afternoon, mm-hmm. evening, et cetera. So,
it's difficult to be in a position where you have to report. And I've been doing a lot of interviews here in the United States with secular media. I've been on the affiliates here in Detroit, plus doing a lot of radio interviews, secular radio interviews across the country. And again, you have to rely on your own sources if you're not getting the information. This is what, I mean, the Vatican has to know this. And if they want to be guarded about what's getting out there, you think there would be more forthcoming. Not that they have to give you every single detail, but it should be on a more regular, consistent basis, so you can accurately describe what's going on. I mean, to a certain point, but it gets to the point where it's ridiculous, where you have to go and somebody said this, or go to the hospital. Somebody at the hospital said this.
Yeah.
What's true and what isn't? You have to be so careful.
It can't be news only for who is physically present at a certain time of day in the press office. Because if there's 700-800 people covering it, there's probably people accredited to the Holy See who live in Venice, Florida, or Venice, Italy, so they're not present, but they've got those accreditations so that if they ever come to Rome for an event, they are accredited to the Holy See. And anyway, so, you know, now we're getting just a little bit more, and I don't have to know, does the Pope take coffee, you know, with a little sugar or milk or anything? I don't have to know that, but it is interesting to know that he has coffee. Let's go back to a couple of those morning reports that said not only did he wake up, well, of course he woke up, but, you know, he had breakfast sitting up in a chair, he had coffee, he was reading newspapers. And you even, in your mind's eye, you form a picture of the Holy Father sitting up, you know, as any normal person would, sitting in a chair or something. So, obviously, all the prayers continue for him, the nightly rosaries offered by a different cardinal in the Roman Curia, and then today, obviously being Ash Wednesday, at about a half an hour after we are off the air, there will be the procession and the Ash Wednesday event at Santa. Well, there's not going to be the Pope, but there's going to be the procession from the Basilica of Santa Sabina to the Basilica of Santa mm-hmm. Sabina, mm-hmm. where there will be ashes. There will be liturgy. There will be ashes handed out. And normally the Pope would receive ashes in this event. We don't know yet. They're going to tell us tonight if he has at any point during the day gotten ashes. But Cardinal Angelo De Donatis, he's the major penitentiary major. He was the former vicar of Rome. He will preside at all the Ash Wednesday rites today. So, as I said, 4:30 procession with high-ranking everybody in the Vatican who wants to come. And just any Catholic in Rome can go and join the procession from Sant'Anselmo Benedictine Church to Santa Sabina, the Dominican Church. So mm-hmm. that will continue as usual. And the one thing I would love to know is if the Pope watches television. Because, Teresa, you and I both know, he's published it himself that one or two years ago, he said he hadn't watched TV in 30 years.
Yeah.
And but, I mean, these days, just think of how, you know, if he's up to it and not tired, how moving it would be to follow the rosary. Because we can follow it online, and it's on EWTN television. So I just think if I was in the hospital and people were praying, or even today, to be able to tune in to be part of this Ash Wednesday procession, a part that you normally have a much bigger role in, you know.
So, or even to be to see some of the coverage of other prayer events going on around the world, and then right outside the hospital at Gemelli.
Yeah.
It's become, I saw an article recently that visiting the spot where the picture of John Paul II is, and the people place candles and they come and they pray.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. The pilgrims going over are now making that a part of their pilgrimage during the Year of Hope.
Yes, exactly. I mean, how could you not be in Rome? And we're, by the way, we're looking at another Jubilee Day. Last weekend was kind of quiet. There was no major Jubilee event. But we're going to have the Jubilee of Volunteers and Volunteering this weekend. And so I'll be putting out some of the, it's all on the official Vatican site for the Jubilee year, but I'll be putting out some of that information. You know, oh, and speaking, the Vatican today, by the way, it's Wednesday, folks. You know there's normally a general audience with the Pope presiding, but obviously due to his hospitalization, that's not been the case. However, Pope Francis has authorized, actually asked, that the text, the catechesis that's usually prepared well before the actual audience day, he asked that the catechesis this week, like last week, be published, you know, in the Holy See Press Office bulletin. So that is out there, and it was a very beautiful catechesis on the Holy Family and Jesus going to the time when he was lost in the temple. And
and the prayer, the prayer intentions for March were beautiful, too, on forgiveness in the family. That was really nice.
For family, yes, family's in trouble. And so that type of thing goes on. And even if the Pope cannot preside an event, he will, you know, name someone to preside in his stead. And Vatican business, I guess, goes on in any of the dicasteries. I'm just guessing, but I don't know, but it would be fun to know. When a papal secretary, for example, goes to the hospital, I'm just presuming what he's doing there is what he would do in the Santa Marta, and that is to say, bring papers to the Pope. You know, here's something you asked for, Your Holiness. Can you sign this letter? Or maybe the Pope has written something and they want to bring it by him to, you know, here's the final edited version. So I'm sure that every single dicastery, whatever its particular focus is, they probably have something that might have to be approved by the Pope. And I'm just guessing that, you know, one of his secretaries takes care of that. So business does go on and will go on.
Right.
You're going to have the big Jubilee weekends like the one coming up. But you just won't have the Pope present, which obviously is very sad.
Yeah. I was saying yesterday in an interview I did with Louisiana Catholic Radio Network that it is it's very sad for us, and it kind of like the tables have turned, because normally the Holy Father leads us into Lent with prayer, and now we're leading him into Lent with the prayer for a recovery. So it's got a little bit of a feel to it, right?
Yeah, no, exactly, and it's going to be a different a very, very different Lent for him. Oh, well, and by the way, Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, and it's always the Sunday after Lent that the annual Lenten retreat for the Roman Curia takes place. And it lasts for 5 days, under the previous popes, I think it was 6 days. Anyway, this year, no one is going to be traveling out of Rome. The retreat exercises will be preached in the Paul VI Hall.
And
anyone who works for the Vatican, the Roman Curia, is invited, along with all the cardinals, bishops, and archbishops. So,
Joni, we're out of time already. Oh, my goodness. So we look for you on Jim and Joy Pinto at home, and also, of course, at JonesRome at WordPress.com. Make sure you check out her blog. It's fabulous. Not only is she a great writer, but a great photographer as well. We'll be right back on a Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. Stay tuned.
people ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. And our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hello, Steve Ray here. We're going to Normandy, France in November to celebrate the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We'll also be in Paris for the opening of the resurrected Notre Dame Cathedral. Join us on a pilgrimage of discovery through the saints and shrines of France. Catherine Laborier and the Miraculous Medal, St. Therese of Lisieux, the Incorrupt Body of Vincent de Paul, a dinner cruise through Paris on the Seine River, and so much more.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town, where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Wishing you a peaceful and beautiful Ash Wednesday. Tomorrow, Father Mitch Pacwa joins us on our Cultural Connections. You don't want to miss that. Talk more about Lent. And we're also going to be talking to someone behind a brand new film, The Last Supper. Talk to you then. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.